Hello, everybody. Welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is David Love. Lana Love is not with us at the moment, but I'm sure she'll be here. And today we're very excited to have my good friends Ida and Elsie Jordan here today with us, two trans mediums from Spiritualist Church in Florida I met many years ago. Welcome to the show, Elsie and Ida.
Hi.
Good to be here.
Hi, thanks for being on the show.
It's a pleasure, David.
It's really exciting. This is a great reunion. So I just want to say that, just give you a little background information about Ida and Elsie. They were raised Catholic. I guess the spirit world was never unknown to them because their grandparents on their father's side were founders of a spiritualist church in Puerto Rico where they were born. Since a very young age, both had spiritual experiences that opened a breach on their thirsty minds, searching for the answers. Through the years, they've taken courses in mediumship, channeling your energy, the power of healing. Their most recent education includes Arthur Findlay College in England, and in the next few months, they'll be going to Kingswell House in Scotland. And in the last 14 years, they've been active members of a spiritualist church in Florida where I met them. Serving as lecturers, mediums, and healers. And in addition to their work in spiritualism, they're both wives, mothers, daughters, sisters, friends, and professionals. Elsie's in customer service, and Ida is in the human resources arena, and serving spirit and love and light. And that's wonderful. You take on many roles, both of you. You must be really busy these days.
And we are.
We are.
Wow. I can only imagine. So you're both, I imagine you're both still very active as giving spirit messages to people in the church?
We are. We do lectures and we give messages. It's always, I would say, a blessing to be able to connect the individuals with their loved ones in the spirit side of life. It's, I have a friend that calls that a love hug. She says there's nothing that compares to the experience of feeling someone that it was sharing your lifetime, and it's now in the spirit world, and you can hear from them. You can feel their love. You know, through that communication, you know they are still alive.
Sorry about that. I think we hit a solar flare or something that happens. Just little technical difficulties. We always rise above the tests and challenges on this show.
Hello, Ada and Elsie. It's Lana Love here. Lovely to meet you.
Hi, Lana. How are you?
I'm glad you could hear me.
Good. So we're just getting started, and they're just Ida and Elsie are just telling us about some of their experiences and what they do as psychic mediums,
wow,
giving spirit messages.
Can't wait to hear, because I know that you've had close contact with them and had the most amazing experiences.
I've seen them at work. They're so talented. They're some of the most talented mediums I've ever seen. I've been floored by some of the messages that both of you have given in the past.
Thank you. Thank you, David. It's always good to have confirmation of that communication. That is a very important part of our work.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Universal Soul Love. So sorry for the technical difficulties.
There's a huge, huge solar flare that's around, especially over Australia, and that's disrupting a lot of electronic communication.
But anyhow, on with the show. We have Ida and Elsie, two psychic mediums, good friends of mine from the Spiritualist Church I attended years ago. Welcome back, Elsie and Ida.
Hi.
Hi.
Sorry for the disruption.
You know, if we get disrupted again, I guess we might be able to communicate clairvoyantly. That would be useful, wouldn't it?
That's how it works. We're here talking. We're here talking about spirit communication and the existence of the spirit world and so glad to have you with us, Elsa and Ida.
And of course, psychic mediums very much do confirm the existence of life beyond life.
Exactly, and that's exactly what we were talking about before we got disrupted. We were talking about how in spiritualism, it's all about spirit communication with the idea of confirmation of the spirit world through spirit messages. So, and I think that's what you were just talking about in your work, Ida, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. It's very important that the individuals that are receiving the message, they can feel the presence of their loved ones, that it's in the spirit side of life, that they can connect with them and have no doubt that that's the individual, that we're giving information that there's no way we know about them except for that beautiful communication and the love that it's that they express through their messages through us.
Right. And how many years have you both been doing this for, Elsie?
I'm telling you, studying like through the church and going to different classes and seminars, I will say about 14 years. But as you said about us before, it's not strange for us since we grew up knowing about this spirit world existed through our family members that were members of the spiritualist church too.
Right. So this is something that came to you naturally through your upbringing, is it something that you were born with, like a talent that you were born with, or? Because for me, I get spirit messages now too occasionally, and mine really came through practice through the psychic circles.
I can tell you, since I was a very little girl, I start feeling things that I will not understand. I can feel presence. I can see things that I know were not like people. I could see things, and at least I have the support of my parents that they could explain me not to be scared about them and encourage me to share what was my experience was. So since I was young, I was having some experience about the other side of life.
Right. I've heard some amazing messages come out of both of you, things that I just can't explain. I mean, I'm an investigator, so for me, I'm always looking for proof and factual evidence, you know, seeing is believing, and I've been floored by some of the messages, even, you know, messages having to do with my writing and things in the work that I was doing in the past. Truly amazing.
Should we actually say a bit more about that?
What about my writer?
Well, yeah, sure.
I don't think they really remember too much about that.
Oh.
They give so many messages all the time.
Okay.
But,
do you want to talk about your experiences, David?
Well, I think what I was asking earlier, the difference between, because I often get, Ida and Elsa, you two would know better than me about this being more experienced. Sometimes I feel... Sometimes I'm channeling as opposed to receiving messages, and I know there's a big difference between the two. Can you tell us what that is?
Well, I can tell you based on my own experience, and it's
sure.
One. There's so many ways, and I think it's very individual to you or me and symbols and all those things. Like when you're receiving messages, for me, for example, I just, if I tell you right now, think of a white horse. The way you are seeing that white horse in your mind, that's the way I see. And I start seeing things or symbols. not too long ago, I had this interesting experience. I went to serve as a juror, jury duty. I am in a room with a lot of people. It happens to be that this young woman is going to serve in the same room that I'm going to serve. As soon as she sat beside me, I felt something for her. And then I sensed like a presence. Not like a presence, of course a presence. The energy of an individual, of a spirit besides me. And I sensed her sadness, and I sensed she had to make decisions. And it's all like thoughts. As the time goes by, you learn to identify what are your own thoughts and what are the thoughts that are coming from a higher level of consciousness that it's helping you. And I started talking to her, and I told her what I sensed. She was very open. And throughout the conversation, she mentioned that she lost her sister 2 months earlier. And that's immediately I had that connection. Then that was the presence I was sensing. The message that was giving her, just as proof, I started seeing like a laundry room and her folding a piece of clothing. And I told her that. I said, I know this week I see you in the laundry room and you were folding a piece of a cloth and you were thinking about your sister. And she said that happened yesterday. I was doing that, and I found a dress from her and I was folding it. And it was on that part, what I'm getting in my mind is like, okay, it's the message. But what I'm sensing beside me, that energy, I know it's the spirit, is there and it's communicating. Would that answer your question?
It does. Ida, can I ask you how, in terms of telling the difference between the origin of something like this, whether it comes from you or a higher source or a different source, what's the main way you tell the difference?
In this case, maybe because I'm open, I want to serve, and I feel that spirit knows. When you can communicate, you can sense, and it's just to serve. This lady was in a need to know that, and I feel that's coming from the spirit. I'm there. I am a good connection, and it's they sense and they come to you so that you can communicate. The main thing and what I sense has the most, I don't know how to describe it, but it's the greatness of that communication with spirit, is that that lady, which was a stranger to me when I got to that place, when we walked out of there, she gave me a hug. She was from completely devastated to be so full of life again and joy and happiness because her sister was doing good, because she knows her sister was seeing her, because she had enough proof throughout the conversation. She gave so many things. She showed me a boat and the ocean, and I know they wanted to go on a trip, and as I'm giving her all that information, she knows. She can confirm that. And so that's like she was so uplifted. And I think that's the main thing of this work that we do, to make sure people are not afraid of death and are not afraid of suffering you know, the suffering of their loved ones when they are in a level that they cannot see them, but that they are still there and that the love right. is still there.
That is truly, truly so beautiful and significant.
It is.
The work that you do is so important.
That certainly makes you a light, both of you light workers or light healers, because I know for me, working in hospice and being in the spiritualist church, I was able to almost overcome my fear of death, knowing that there is no death and that there is an eternal soul. And this was probably one of the most important pieces of information or knowledge I gained in my awakening, was the comfort of knowing, not having that fear of death, knowing that life is eternal and you have an infinite soul. Because once you overcome your fear of death and you know that your life goes on, life beyond life or life after life, you realize that life is short and it's, and the fear in life sort of diminishes quite a bit, knowing that you're basically an immortal soul. It really changes. It's really a game changer that way. So it's, I feel it's one of the most important pieces of any spiritual belief system. And the other thing I caught on to when you were talking about how you receive your spirit messages or communications is by knowing your own thoughts and feelings. And through many years of meditation and practicing in the mediumship, the psychic circles, I was able to learn my own thoughts and know myself a lot better so that occasionally when these communications come through, I can say, I get that sense that this is not my thought. And the information tends to come a lot clearer, and occasionally even names and the sources that they're coming from. I guess it's really a lot of practice doing it, and eventually it becomes sort of a natural talent. That's what I've seen.
In
my experience, while I haven't received actual perhaps words or messages that way, I think I have the beginnings of something like this. And for me, the way I can tell the difference is sensing that there's some relationship, sensing there's a presence of something else, perhaps a warmth, perhaps an intention, perhaps duality, but it's not just you, there's someone else present and a relationship there.
Yeah, I think so. It's developing sensitivity to those things.
And that is correct too. And some people get a connection in a different ways. Some people can probably sense more. I'm a person that I connect a lot with smell. Like I can start having a different sensation or feeling. Sometimes it's just an image. And then you start doing a connection with that and then developing more and more information. And sometimes can come in a different way, the communication, whichever is probably the most easy to communicate from the spirit that want to communicate to and what is better to connect.
Do you do both mediumship and channeling?
We do mostly the mediumship of giving the messages. However, that next trip, we're doing the next course that we're taking is on trans mediumship. So we have been kind of testing it a little bit, but now we are going for an intensive course on trans mediumship. So
is trans mediumship, is that what's normally called channeling?
Yeah, I think those two terms are synonymous.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about the difference and what is involved in trans mediumship?
We can tell you a little bit. However, we are not experts on the matter at this point. But messages Mostly, the best way I can explain it is when you are receiving, like the spirit is just kind of communicating in a telepathic way on your mind, all the information, and you sense, and that's, but there's a certain distance. That's the best way I can describe it. For trance, it's more, the connection is more intimate, it's more, it's stronger, and quite often you could see the features of the medium kind of absorbing or looking like the spirit that it's giving the message. It's like the spirit is using your voice to communicate, is using your being to communicate more than just having that separation and communicating in a telepathic way. Does that make sense?
Right. I think channeling is more like Seth or Abraham or an entity or a spirit who comes and speaks through you, as opposed to mediumship, which is where you're actually receiving thoughts into your mind or whatever, which are not yours, that you recognize as being from an outside source, and you're providing that message as opposed to the spirit of the entity speaking through you. And then,
so would you say it's sort of like a possession state?
Would you repeat that? What was the word you used?
Would you say that transmediumship, the channeling, is sort of like a possession state?
It wouldn't generally be possession, because channeling is generally voluntary, and possession is sort of sounds like it's involuntary.
Can't you be possessed voluntarily?
I don't know. Anyhow, I don't know if they have the legalistic...
Mm-hmm. I'm not really familiar with that term, so I'm not sure.
Okay. I guess what I would be really interested in is, what is the experience like for you when another spirit enters, presumably, into your consciousness or uses your brain and your mind? What is that like?
I have had a little bit of experience on that. And it's like, if you feel an impulse to, it's not like I am conscious, I'm not unconscious. I have seen mediums that they don't remember what happened, but I do. But I feel like what I'm saying is not controlled by what I want to say. It's just like natural expression of what the entity wants to express. And it's interesting, since I'm not a developed completely on trance. So sometimes I get a little bit of headache, or you feel a little bit of heaviness, because I'm just developing it now. The same happens to some people that are developing on just the messages part of the mediumship. You can feel some pressure on your head at the beginning until it comes natural to you. So far, that's what I have experienced.
Yes. On my side, I can say that I haven't experienced too much of that type of communication. And my communication is more on the mediumship side, on the messages, on the healing. So it's going to be a good experience for me now on this next trip that we're going to do to explore on that type of communication.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
fascinating to me, because I'm so interested in consciousness and our connection with the world and non-duality, the whole idea of one consciousness perhaps fusing or being in parallel with another consciousness in the mind is fascinating, absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, that's certainly what mysticism is all about, study of consciousness. I certainly enjoy the topic.
Can we ask you, what has been the most significant experience with transmediumship for you both?
Well, I'm not sure if this was a transmedium experience, but I'm going to share with you what has been one of my most significant experience at all in my life. And it happened when I was a teenager, and I was supposedly sleeping in my bedroom, and I started hearing this beautiful music, and I thought that it was like when you go do a serenade or something. I hear like people approaching my house. I hear people trying to come close to the window to start singing. And I woke up and I heard the most beautiful sound and music I have ever heard in my life. So suddenly I get scared because I couldn't recognize who was singing, and it was completely different what I can hear with the human voices. At that time, when I completely opened my eyes, I looked into my bedroom window. I saw two beautiful hands holding a glass, like a champagne glass, like beautiful, beautiful things. It's hard to describe with words. And at the same time, the music started fading away because I was scared, so everything faded. But for me, that have been one of the most beautiful experiences ever, and I will remember. That was the time that it was kind of an awakening for me of everything that was coming for.
Wow. Wow. And I imagine that that's perhaps changed some of your beliefs about the presence of an afterlife or a heaven.
Definitely. It was so angelic and so beautiful. And the thing was that I was almost paralyzed at that time. I didn't know too much what was happening. And I was really scared. And I remember start praying in my mind and praying like, what is this? Then my mother wake up at the same time, because she thinks she saw some lights by her bedroom, and she didn't know what was going on until she heard me and she came to my room. So everything was working perfectly because they didn't want me to be scared. And then my mom explained to me, you know, this is what is happening. This is beautiful. And she explained what kind of experience I was having. Which definitely, after that, I wasn't that much scared at all. I knew it was very special.
Yeah, it sounds amazing.
It does. Yeah. Slightly different from my experiences with my out of body experience, but you take what you get, what comes to you, and
your out of body experience was blissful.
No, I was. But, you know, I was woken up by creatures that I don't know if I've never seen them. I don't know what they were. I don't know if anyone's ever seen anything like what I've seen. They probably have. But nonetheless, it gave me the knowledge that there's more to life, more to the physical world, more than what we see. And it certainly changed my world view and opened up my mind to other possibilities, you know, and changed the way I see things and just my outlook. So, you know, it's good. It's always good, I think, to know that there's life beyond life and beyond this world, either way, and to hear reports of
people having wonderful experiences like this, these angelic experiences, is wonderful. And I'm so glad that you're out there giving these messages.
I wonder, Ida and Elsie, perhaps you could comment on this. Why is it that some people have these experiences and others don't? And why is it that some people have blissful angelic experiences and other people get frightened out of their wits?
Well, this, we believe in having different lives in reincarnation. We believe that this is just, this lifetime is an experience, a lesson to learn, or someone to help, or we're here in a mission. But the more we come to the earth plane, and the older is our spirit, the more connected you are. So that's, and I'm talking about my own interpretation of this. I feel that we have so many old spirits in the earth plane right now, and we see the children. We see how wise, advanced they are, with so much knowledge that they are bringing. And that they are special. They can see, they can hear. Some of them, it's hard for them to adapt to the lifestyle we have, or the earth plane, or whatever is going on here now, because they are still so connected to the spirit life. And I think the more you keep that spiritual connection, it stays with you. I think everybody has this, because we're first spirit before we're in a body. But a lot of people don't listen to all those messages. All that is happening to all of us, but some of us, because of the way we were raised, or the religion we are, that's not good, that's not happening, no, you're not hearing anything. So then they block it. But it happens. Everybody that you talk to, at least once in their lifetime, they can tell you that they received a call, and they can say, I was just thinking about you. I was just going to call. That everybody has
that used to happen all the time to my grandmother, all the time. It's amazing. And yet she was somewhat skeptical about all of this. And yet she would always say that to people. I was just thinking about you. How amazing that you called.
Yeah, I think everyone I know has had some kind of psychic or spiritual experience, even if they can't understand what happened or what the experience was. They can still say that it was an unusual experience. And I guess, you know, in society, in the past, we've been conditioned to sort of disregard these experiences as just being dreams or hallucinations or whatever. And so we don't practice this skill, this natural talent that we're born with, because we're all born with it. Our natural state is the light body. Our spirit is the natural, not the physical. So we all communicate this way, I believe. And, if either of you get any messages at any point, or you feel any presence or anything that you want to relate to us, feel free to...
We'd love to see this in action. I'm sure our listeners would be also very interested to get some sense of how this is done.
Yeah, we've had quite a few mediums on our show, but we've never actually had any of them give messages, because we do so much discussion. But we have had Cartron on a couple of times, Patrick McCormick, who's pretty amazing.
We'd love to get any messages you have for us from the other side, if
anyone wants to talk to us.
But no pressure.
No pressure. I want to make a comment also on what we're just talking about. A lot of people also need to have the interest and the desire to know, to connect, and to have that communication, because not all the time is just that they're not having it. It's they just know that it's there, but they may be too scared, or they just definitely want to discard it. And I feel once you show some interest, more things, more proof is coming into your life, and then you can start developing.
Okay. That's the important thing, to actually have an interest and become focused.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, if you know, like I said, I meditated and I went to the psychic development circles, mediumship circles, and for years, and I guess that you will develop that skill as a result. I mean, I don't see how you couldn't, but so many people are just focused on their jobs and their families and what they're doing that they don't take the time to explore the spirit world or explore themselves or do the meditations or any kind of spiritual practice. And so I guess you can't expect to have your mind open to those, to the spirit world if you're not actively seeking it. You're sort of blocking it by focusing on the physical world, I think.
Yes, and even as you say, David, you can sit, and this is things that will take different amount of time for different persons. It may take for somebody be more couple of months, and they just want experience with open everything, but some other people may take years or longer. Right. And in the spirit world, there is not a time frame. They don't have time. We don't have time. We created this time here. So
right.
It's a progression study that is good. I think my sister may be ready to probably give a message or communicate or connect.
Lana, I'm sensing you mentioned you mentioned your grandmother, and I'm sensing the presence of a lady. I can sense her with a curly hair, but I'm seeing it more like salt and pepper. It's dark and some gray, but darker than gray, you know, and curly and by her neck. And I sense that it's showing me a plate, like you're eating, and it's like you're pushing out something off your plate, like something you don't like from your food. I don't know if when you were younger, you didn't like some certain vegetables or something, and I'm seeing, I don't know if it's you, I'm seeing just the plate, and I'm seeing moving those something out of the plate to the side, like I don't like that. Does that bring you a memory with her?
Well, goodness, I think children always have that battle with parents or their grandparents. So it certainly could well be a memory. That's interesting that you're sensing that. I mean, the main women in my lives were my grandmother, but I also have my mother, who she has dementia, and this is probably another interesting topic. Me and David have talked about the fact that with dementia, it seems like the soul and the spirit sometimes is not in the body. And I often feel that my mother's spirit is actually not in her body at times. So I wonder whether this is my mother or my grandmother.
So what about the curly hair with the salt and pepper, curly hair? Is that one of them, both of them?
Well, my mother is now Salt and Pepper. She hasn't had curls for some time. She used to curl her hair. She used to be blonde. My grandmother certainly curled her hair and dyed it a brown colour. So, but she would have been Salt and Pepper underneath that.
I think your mother does kind of look like that, though. Mm. That sounds very familiar, that description.
Wow, that's amazing.
Are you
okay? Keep talking. Did you get anything? When Ida is connecting, sometimes I can pick other information. So while you're talking about the hair, I felt something on the middle part of my body, which means I feel like my belly or my abdomen was a little bit like inflamed, a little bit bigger at some point, maybe some discomfort in that area of my body. If that can be like somebody, one of those ladies that at some point of their life may have some problem in that area that you are aware of.
I'm having difficulty hearing you. In her abdomen, are you saying?
Yeah, that she has some kind of digestive disease or something, or some injury in your mother's stomach or your grandmother's stomach or something, or kind of discomfort or something.
She actually had a heart attack, and she had a triple bypass. So I wonder whether that relates to the area of the chest.
No, that will not be. The attention I brought was from my lower abdomen. So if it's not either one of them, it's okay. I can take it now, but I don't want to make it fit with the heart area because I feel it on the lower part of her body.
And it's interesting because I saw that so clear, that plate. And if it's not a memory from you, did you have that experience with you have kids recently? It's too vivid to just. Is it recently that you were telling a kid, don't do that or eat everything or don't push that away? You're very recent.
Well, I remember just recently, Lana has a Ukrainian woman who tutors her youngest daughter, and I know she tried to force blueberries down her throat, like almost. She gets very sort of demanding when it comes to food, and I know Vera had a very...
She won't eat any fruit or veggies. I've sort of given up forcing her, but certainly the nanny does. And certainly, you know, David had a relative who was forced to eat peas, really forced to eat peas.
Yeah, and so I guess, you know, but this was something that just happened last week, and it was sort of a big, it was an incident, you know, kind of where they had a little bit of an argument about the food. And
yeah, that's interesting that's come up, yeah, because it was a big incident. she didn't want to eat the blueberries, and so David ate them for her.
but the dog ate the blueberries, and she was looking for the blueberries on the floor. It was very humorous, but, you know.
So that's amazing that you picked up on that. Absolutely amazing.
I don't know.
At the same, after that, I saw, like, if you were wearing or you have a ring that has a big stone, it's significant. And she's pointing, showing that. Like, I don't know if she liked that type of jewelry, but it's big, oval. What I'm seeing is oval. I see symbolic, so I might not be seeing the exact piece, but I know it's big, and it's I don't see that many of those that specifically big. I would say maybe the biggest print that you have or she had. It's
wow. My mother loved that, that shape. She had rings and she loved stones of that shape. That's amazing.
We'll have to look through those.
Wow. Thank you for doing this. This is so exciting.
It is. I wish we had more time. We only have about 2 minutes left.
Yeah, we have to wrap up now, but I would love to have you on the show again. So interesting.
Yeah. I do remember, I'll just say quickly, I remember the last message I got from you, Ida, was my writer friend who was telling you to tell me to drink more water because water, I guess, is helps conduct psychic energy or mental spirit communication, and you said that was the first time you'd ever heard that. So that was kind of interesting. Keep yourself hydrated. Yeah, that's a metaphysical knowledge. That was really interesting.
Okay, we better finish up there, but thank you so much, Ida and Elsie, for coming on the show and, proving once again to us that there is life after life.
Life beyond life. Whichever way you want to say it. Sorry for the technical difficulties. We do the best we can, but this was a great show. Lots of great information shared. Really appreciate both of you coming on the show.
Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you. Have been our pleasure. Nice talking to you.
Okay, so it's goodbye from Universal Soul Love, and join us again next week. This is Dr. Lana Love.
And David Love.
Goodbye.
Goodbye for now.